This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to write a conflict resolution email when a negotiation dispute cannot be resolved in person. The exact words to send when a negotiation has stalled and tensions are running high. In short, a conflict resolution email is your best tool when a negotiation dispute cannot be settled face to face. Done well, it de-escalates tension, creates a written record, and keeps the path to agreement open. Use factual language, name the specific disagreement, not the person's character. Match your tone to the relationship, not to your frustration. End every email with a clear next step and an open invitation to respond. Definition: a conflict resolution email is a written message used to address a negotiation dispute when direct conversation is not possible or has already failed. It states the facts clearly, acknowledges both positions, and proposes a constructive path forward in 3-5 focused paragraphs. I once watched a contract negotiation between two experienced professionals collapse, not because the gap between them was too wide, but because neither of them had the right words ready when the in-person conversation went sideways. By the time they tried to repair it, both had said things they could not take back. What followed was 3 weeks of terse emails that made everything worse. A single well-crafted conflict resolution email, sent the evening after that first difficult meeting, would have changed everything. The scripts in this article are built for exactly that moment. Why a written record changes the power dynamic in a negotiation dispute. There's something important about putting words on the page during a conflict. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe what I call the communication medium richness hierarchy, a ranked model that runs from in-person conversation at the richest end and through video call, phone, email, and text at the leanest. The richer the medium, the more context, tone, and nuance it carries. Email sits near the lean end of that hierarchy. So why use it for conflict resolution at all? Because lean does not mean weak. It means deliberate. When a negotiation dispute is running hot, a face-to-face conversation carries the risk of escalation that neither party can control in the moment. Email removes that risk. It gives both sides time to think. It creates a record that neither party can later deny. And as I write in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, when you move to a leaner medium by necessity, you compensate by adding extra clarity and extra care to every word. That is the discipline this article asks of you. Write the email slowly. Read it out loud. If even one sentence sounds angry, defensive, or dismissive, rewrite it before you send. How to get the most from these scripts? Find the script that most closely matches your situation. Read the context note first. It tells you what kind of conflict the script is designed for. Then adapt the words to your own voice. These scripts are frameworks, not form letters. The brackets mark every element you need to personalize. One more thing, read every script out loud before you send it. You will catch problems the screen hides. If it sounds like a legal notice, simplify it. If it sounds sarcastic, soften it. The goal is a message a confident, reasonable person would be proud to send. If the dispute involves issues that go beyond email entirely, handling complaints and negative feedback via email covers the broader territory of written responses to charged situations. 6 Conflict Resolution Email Scripts for Negotiation Disputes. Script 1. Reopening a dispute that stalled after a difficult meeting. When to use it. The in-person negotiation ended without resolution and the silence since has grown uncomfortable. You need to reopen the conversation without re-triggering the tension. Why it works. It names what happened without assigning blame, signals your continued commitment to resolution, and invites a response without pressure. Silence after a difficult meeting often means both parties are waiting for the other to move. This script moves first. Standard version. Dear name, I have been thinking about our conversation on date, and I want to make sure we do not leave things where they ended. I know we did not reach agreement on specific issue, and I think there is still a path forward if we are both willing to keep talking. My position on specific issue remains your position, and I understand yours is their position. I would like to explore whether there's a middle ground around specific ideal or option. Would you be open to a call or a follow-up meeting this week? I'm committed to finding something that works for both of us. Best regards, your name. Formal version. Dear name. Following our meeting on date, I wanted to reach out regarding the unresolved matter of specific issue. I appreciate the time we have already invested in this discussion and believe a resolution remains within reach. My position continues to be your position. I understand and respect that your position is their position. I would welcome the opportunity to explore specific proposal or option as a possible way forward. Please let me know your availability for a follow-up conversation at your earliest convenience. I remain fully committed to reaching a constructive resolution. Yours sincerely, your name. Watch for a defensive reply that relitigates the original argument. If that happens, do not respond in kind. Acknowledge the points briefly and redirect the proposed next step. Eamon's note. The person who moves first after a difficult conversation almost always earns more respect, not less. Silence reads as stubbornness. This email reads as strength. Script 2. Responding to an accusation or factual dispute in a negotiation. When to use it. The other party has made a claim about what was said, agreed, or offered that you know to be inaccurate. You need to correct the record without inflaming the dispute. Why it works. As I write and say it right every time, manipulation thrives in confusion and dies in clarity. When someone misrepresents what happened, your best tool is a calm, factual account of events. This script avoids accusation while holding the ground firmly. Standard version. Dear Name, thank you for your message. I want to address the point about specific claim, because my recollection differs from yours. What I understood to be agreed on date was specific facts. I have notes from the meeting slash the email thread slash the draft agreement that reflect this. I'm not raising this to reopen old ground. I want to make sure we are working from the same understanding before we move forward. Can we set aside 10 minutes to align on this before our next discussion? Best regards, your name. Formal version. Dear Name, I have reviewed your message carefully and wish to address the point regarding specific claim. My records indicate that the position agreed on date was specific facts. I have attached relevant document or referenced the email chain for reference. I raise this not to dispute your account personally, but to ensure we are both working from an accurate shared record as we continue these discussions. A brief call to align our understanding would be a valuable use of time before we proceed. Please let me know your availability. Yours sincerely, your name. Watch for the other party doubling down or dismissing your documentation. If they continue to deny what the record clearly shows, this is gaslighting territory. See script 3 below and consider whether a richer medium such as a video call or phone conversation is now necessary. You can also consult how to handle conflict during meetings for guidance on what to do when the dispute continues in real time. Eamon's note. Never send this email in the same hour you discovered the inaccuracy. Write it. Set it aside. Read it the next morning. Anger sharpens your words in the wrong direction. Script 3. Addressing a pattern of denial or rewriting of events. When to use it. The other party in a negotiation dispute continues to deny or reframe what you clearly experienced. You need to hold your ground without the conversation becoming a shouting match on paper. Why it works. Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time addresses gaslighting directly, the practice of denying another person's reality. The counter is a written record. This email creates one, calmly and clearly, adapted here for the specific context of a negotiation dispute. Standard version. Dear Name, I need to address something directly. On date, specific event or statement. I was present for that conversation, and my notes reflect it clearly. I understand that your recollection may differ. However, I am not in a position to proceed on the basis that the event or statement did not happen. I want to resolve this dispute constructively, and I can only do that from an accurate starting point. I'm proposing that we review the relevant documentation slash the email thread slash the notes from the meeting together and agree on what we are both working from before we continue. I am available specific dates and times. Best regards, your name. Formal version. Dear Name, I'm writing to address a point of ongoing disagreement about the facts of specific situation. My records clearly document that on date, specific event or statement. I have attached slash referenced below the relevant documentation. I recognise that we have reached an impasse on this point. In the interest of progressing our discussions, I propose we engage a neutral third party or mediator to review the factual record and help us establish a shared basis for moving forward. I remain committed to reaching a resolution and look forward to your response. Yours sincerely, your name. Watch for. This script requires genuine documentation to back it up. Do not send it if your record is incomplete. And recognize that once you have sent it, the tone of the negotiation will shift. Make sure you are ready for that. Eamon's note. A written record is the most powerful thing you can create before a conversation where you expect your reality to be denied. Keep your notes. Date them. They are your anchor. Script 4. Setting a boundary when a negotiation has become hostile. When to use it. The in-person negotiation or a previous exchange of messages has crossed into hostile territory. The other party has raised their voice, used personal language, or threatened consequences. You need to name the line clearly, why it works, and say it right every time. I'm direct about this. A boundary without enforcement is just a suggestion. This script names the behaviour, states what you need, and makes clear what happens next if the behaviour continues. It does so without matching the other party's hostility. Anger feeds on anger. This email gives it nothing to feed on. Standard version. Dear name, I want to keep our negotiation moving forward, and I need to name something first. During our last meeting / your message on date, the conversation moved in a direction I'm not willing to continue. Specific behavior, raised voice, personal language, threats. I understand this negotiation is important to both of us, and that things can get tense. However, I need us to communicate with mutual respect if we are going to reach a workable outcome. I'm ready to continue as soon as we can agree on that basis. Please let me know how you would like to proceed. Best regards. Your name. Formal version. Dear name, I'm writing regarding the tone of our recent communications. I wish to continue working toward a resolution on specific negotiation matter, and I must first address the manner in which our discussions have been conducted. On date, specific behaviour. This approach is not conducive to productive negotiation, and I'm not prepared to continue on those terms. I'm requesting that we re-establish a professional and respectful basis for our discussions. I remain committed to finding a resolution. I would welcome a response confirming your willingness to engage on that basis. Yours sincerely, your name. Watch for no response or a response that escalates further. If that happens, you may need to involve a manager, a mediator, or HR. The deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate can be useful context here. Eamon's note. People who feel powerless often explode. That does not make the explosion acceptable. Name the line once, clearly, without drama. Then hold it. Script 5. Proposing a concrete compromise after repeated deadlock. When to use it. Both parties have restated their positions multiple times, and the negotiation is going in circles. You need to break the pattern by offering something specific and new. Why it works. Deadlocked negotiations usually die not from genuine incompatibility, but from both parties waiting for the other to move. This email does three things. It acknowledges the deadlock directly. It offers a concrete proposal. And it invites a counter. It shifts the conversation from positions to options, which is where resolution actually lies. Standard version. Dear name, we have been at this for time period, and I think we both know the current approach is not getting us anywhere. I want to offer something specific. My proposal is concrete proposal. I believe this addresses their key concern while also meeting your key requirement. I'm not presenting this as a final take-it-or-leave-it offer. I'm presenting it as a starting point for a different kind of conversation. If this does not work for you as written, I am open to hearing what would. What matters to me is finding something we can both commit to. Best regards, your name. Formal version. Dear name, having reviewed the progress of our discussions to date, I believe it would serve both parties to introduce a new proposal rather than continue to restate existing positions. I would like to formally propose the following. Specific proposal with clear terms. This proposal is designed to address their stated concern while maintaining your key requirement. I present it as a basis for further discussion, not as a final position. I welcome your counterproposal or any revisions you believe would make this workable. I remain committed to reaching an agreement and look forward to your response. Yours sincerely. Your name. Watch for a counterproposal that ignores your key requirement entirely. If that happens, it is a signal that the other party may not be negotiating in good faith. Consider whether the dispute now needs a structured mediation process. The deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy offers a framework for exactly this kind of structured reset. Eamon's note. Most deadlocks break when one person stops defending their position and starts describing their need. There is a difference. Know which one you are doing. Script 6. Apologizing for your part in a negotiation breakdown. When to use it. You said something in the heat of the negotiation that you regret, or you recognize that your own behavior contributed to the breakdown. You need to take responsibility without surrendering your position on the underlying issue. Why it works. As I describe in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, a real apology has three parts: acknowledgement of the specific action, recognition of its impact on the other person, and a genuine commitment to change. It is also the single most powerful thing you can do to create space for repair. Taking responsibility for your part first does not mean accepting blame for everything. It means you're serious about the relationship and the outcome. This script draws directly from script 117 in Say It Right Every Time, adapted here for a negotiation context. Standard version. Dear Name, I have been thinking about our last conversation, and I want to address something before we go any further. During the meeting / our exchange on date, a specific thing you said or did. I regret that. I can see that its specific impact made the conversation harder / put you on the defensive / damaged the trust between us. There is no excuse for it, and I take full responsibility. Going forward, I'm committed to specific change in how you will communicate. I value what we are trying to build here, and I want to resolve this properly. Can we start again? Best regards, Your Name. Formal version. Dear Name, I wish to address my conduct during our recent discussions before we continue. On date, a specific action or statement. I understand that this specific impact on the other party. I take full responsibility for that, and I offer my sincere apology. Moving forward, I'm committed to specific behavioural change. I value our professional relationship and the work we have invested in reaching an agreement. I hope we can continue our discussions on a renewed basis. Please let me know how you would like to proceed. Yours sincerely, Your Name. Watch for an apology that is not accepted, or that is used as an opportunity to relitigate every grievance. If that happens, acknowledge the response briefly and redirect to the next step. You cannot control how an apology is received. You can only control whether it is genuine. For deeper repair after a significant breakdown, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships gives you a fuller framework. Eamon's note. I spent years thinking that apologizing in a negotiation showed weakness. I was wrong. It shows that you care more about the outcome than about being right. Adapting these scripts without losing what makes them work. There's a real risk with any script you copy it too closely, and it sounds like someone else wrote it, because someone else did. The person reading it will feel that, and it undermines the trust you're trying to build. The brackets are your permission to make each script yours. Change the opening sentence. Use your own words for the context. Keep the structure and the purpose, but let the language breathe into your own voice. The one thing you must not change is the discipline of factual, specific language. Vague emails produce vague responses. If you name the issue clearly, you give the other party something concrete to respond to. That is how conflict resolution emails actually move things forward. If the dispute touches on dynamics beyond the immediate negotiation, how a met-needs-drive team conflict may help you understand what is really driving the other party's position. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The errors that turn a resolution email into a new fight. People make the same mistakes with conflict resolution emails. Knowing them in advance saves you from sending something you cannot take back. The mistake: writing the email while still angry. Why it happens: the urgency to respond feels like pressure. What to do instead? Write the draft immediately if you need to, then wait. Read it again in the morning. If even one sentence sounds sharp, rewrite it. The mistake: apologizing for things that were not your fault. Why it happens: you want the conflict to end and overcorrect. What to do instead? Use script 6 carefully. Acknowledge your specific contribution. Do not accept responsibility for the entire breakdown. The mistake: burying the key point in the third paragraph. Why it happens: you hedge before you state the issue. What to do instead? Name the issue in the first or second sentence. A reader under stress will stop reading before they reach a buried point. The mistake: sending a long email that invites the reader to argue with every paragraph. Why it happens: you want to be thorough and preempt every counterargument. What to do instead? 3 to 5 paragraphs. 1 point per paragraph. Leave them something to agree to, not a list of things to dispute. The mistake: ending without a clear next step. Why it happens: you are not sure what you want, and the email reflects that. What to do instead? Every conflict resolution email must end with a specific, easy to accept invitation I call a meeting, a simple yes or no. If you give the reader no direction, they will find their own, and it may not be the one you want. If your situation calls for a formal written apology, has a standalone communication, how to write a professional apology email at work gives you a dedicated framework for that specific need. And remember, email works best when it serves as a bridge to a richer conversation. As the master method in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time makes clear, there's no substitute for full presence when the stakes are high. Use these scripts to keep the door open, but plan to walk back through it in person as soon as you can. Frequently asked questions. What is a conflict resolution email? A conflict resolution email is a written message used to address a negotiation dispute when direct conversation is not possible or has already failed. It states the facts clearly, acknowledges both positions, and proposes a constructive path forward. The goal is to de-escalate tension and keep the conversation open. How do you write a conflict resolution email after a failed negotiation? State the specific point of disagreement, acknowledge the other party's position without conceding your own, and propose a clear next step. Keep the tone neutral and factual. Avoid loaded language and assign no blame. End with an open invitation to continue the dialogue. When should a conflict resolution email replace an in-person conversation? When schedules, geography, or emotional temperature make a face-to-face meeting impossible or unproductive. Email creates a written record, gives both parties time to think, and removes the risk of the conversation escalating in real time. It works best as a bridge to a future conversation, not a substitute for one. What tone should a conflict resolution email use? Calm, direct, and factual. Avoid defensive language, blame, and anything that reads as sarcastic in writing. The email should sound like you wrote it after thinking carefully, not in the heat of the moment. Read it out loud before sending. If it sounds aggressive, rewrite it. How long should a conflict resolution email be? Short enough to be read in under 2 minutes. State the issue, acknowledge the other party, make your request or proposal, and invite a response. 3 to 5 short paragraphs is usually enough. Longer emails invite the reader to pick arguments instead of focusing on the path forward. What should you do if the other party does not respond to your conflict resolution email? Wait at least 48 hours before following up. If silence continues, send a single short follow-up restating your openness to resolve the matter. If there is still no response, escalate to a richer communication medium, a phone call or a face-to-face meeting where possible. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.